Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. By modern religious standards, it would be almost impossible to identify false teachers. If we cannot know the truth, then anything goes in religion. But Bible writers never take that position. They constantly warn their readers of the danger of being led astray by false prophets. Paul wrote as follows on that topic to the churches of Galatia. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some who trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians 1, 6 through 9, 11 and 12. The Old Testament writers express grave forebodings about the dangers of false prophets. The leadership in Israel, at the time Jeremiah came on the scene, had become corrupt and sold out to idolatry. The priests said not, "Where is the Lord?" And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied in Baal, and walked after those things which do not profit. Jeremiah 2:8. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Jeremiah 5:31. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. Jeremiah 6:13. These three passages from Jeremiah should provide some insight into conditions which prevailed in Judah immediately preceding the Babylonian exile. The priests were unconcerned about the law of God. The prophets were prophesying falsely. Everyone was given to covetousness. The people of Israel loved to have it so. If you have ever wondered why God disciplined His people by sending them into exile for 70 years, Jeremiah's words about the prophets, the priests, and the people should provide the answers we need. The Jews had to be punished because of immoral and unfaithful leaders and because of ungodly followers. Almost all of Jeremiah 23 is devoted to the false prophets in Judah. Please listen carefully to these verses from Jeremiah 23. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunk man, and like a man whom wine has overcome, because of the Lord, and because of the words of His holiness. For both the prophet and the priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, says the Lord. Wherefore, their ways shall be unto me as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, says the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal, and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers, and none does return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, Behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink of the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets who prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto every one who walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own hearts, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer which breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. Jeremiah 23:9, 11-18, 21-22, 25-32. The prophet Ezekiel, Jeremiah's younger contemporary, also spoke harshly of the false prophets in Israel. O Israel, your prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel, to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord says, and the Lord has not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord says it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, says the Lord God. And my hand shall be upon the prophets who see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord God. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them who daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they who daubed it, to wit, the prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her. And there is no peace, says the Lord God. Ezekiel 13:4-9, 15-16. These two extensive excerpts from Jeremiah and Ezekiel are just samples of the many warnings about false prophets in the Old Testament. Let us turn briefly to some passages in the New Testament. In his great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to his followers, beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Matthew 7:15-20. The whole book of Galatians is devoted to opposing the false teachers who are disturbing the churches of Galatia. The Philippian letter has this brief warning about false prophets. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as to have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Philippians 3:17-19. The Apostle John's first epistle gives this admonition. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. John's second epistle makes this same truth powerfully plain. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of God has not God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he who bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. 2 John 9:11. Perhaps the most explicit and dire warning in the New Testament about false prophets is 2 Peter 2. I shall dwell today on the first two verses of that chapter, which I shall now read to you. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. A good place to begin our discussion of 2 Peter 2 is to ask what a false prophet is. A man is not a false prophet just because I say he is, or just because you say he is. He is a false prophet because God says he is. Let me refresh your memory on what I read to you from both Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Some of the prophets in Israel were false prophets because they prophesied in Baal and walked in those things which do not profit. Jeremiah 2:8. The prophets in Israel were false when they caused God's people to err. Jeremiah 23:13. They were false when they strengthened the hands of evildoers, that no one turned from his wickedness. Jeremiah 23:14. Prophets are false when they speak a vision of their own hearts and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah 23:16. Have you ever noticed how many television preachers claim to have direct communication from the Lord? Generally speaking, the alleged communications are meaningless and bland, and they pertain primarily to how you can help the television evangelist financially. Are these men guilty of speaking visions from their own hearts and not from the mouth of the Lord? Do they not know that the Bible claims to furnish us completely unto every good work? 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Peter said that God has given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. What does that leave for God to say to men in our generation? What God wants us to know, he has revealed through his word. We do not need any additional revelations. Those who pretend to give us new information from God are false prophets, whatever their motivation. And I am not in a position to judge their motivations. But we can and must compare what they say to what God has revealed in his word. The false prophets of Jeremiah's day were assuring the people of God that they had nothing to fear from rumors about a coming exile. They claimed to have had messages from God about enduring peace. Even as the Jewish people were making a mockery of religion, the prophets were telling them that no evil would come upon them. Jeremiah 23:17. Men were false prophets when God had not sent them, and yet they ran anyway. God said, "I have not spoken, yet they have prophesied." Jeremiah 23:21. False prophets, according to Jeremiah, claimed to have received dreams when the dreams did not come from God. They caused God's people to err by the lies the prophets propagated. They also caused them to err by their lightness. The word lightness in this verse is translated recklessness in the Revised Standard Version. Modern false prophets, from Joseph Smith, Jr. to some television evangelist, need desperately to read the words of Jeremiah and of Ezekiel to learn what God thinks of men who lead people into religious error, soul-condemning error. When God has spoken on any topic, those teachers and preachers who would be faithful to God must speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Those of us who preach must devote our lives to learning what God has revealed, and then, with the help of God, deliver God's message in God's Word unto our hearers. If we fail to do that, we are false teachers. Peter affirmed that there were false prophets among the people. The little expression, "the people," refers to the Jewish people. In other words, there were false prophets among the Jews under the Mosaic dispensation. I have already reviewed with you what Jeremiah and Ezekiel said about the false prophets. But there are many other examples in the Old Testament. The Jewish people had to be on the alert constantly to avoid being led astray by men who claimed to be the prophets of God. God held the Jews accountable for whether or not they were discerning regarding the teachers in Israel. They could not say, "I had no idea the man was a false prophet." God gave the Jews ways by which they could discern the true from the false. But not only were there false teachers among the Jews, there will also be false teachers among you, Peter told these early Christians. Did his prophetic words come true in the early church and later? No one who has read the Bible and church history can be ignorant of what occurred in every century since Peter wrote these words. In the early church, there were men who denied the inspiration of the Scriptures, the deity of Christ, the great miracles of the Bible, the Lord's second coming, and many other fundamentals of the faith. Dr. Harold O.J. Brown's book, Heresies, a book of about 300 pages, provides an outstanding account of the many false teachings which have appeared in the past 1900 years. Sadly, in our world, every one of these ancient heresies has been resurrected and is being promoted by someone in religious circles. For example, John Shelby Spong's books have mounted an attack against the inspiration of the Scriptures, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of our Lord, the moral values which Bible writers taught, and many other facets of New Testament Christianity. In addition, cultic movements in the United States have also attacked the teachings of Scripture. The Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, teach that Christ was a created being, not the eternal Son of Almighty God. Anyone who denies the teaching of God's Word is a false prophet. He endangers his own soul and the souls of those who accept his doctrines. The false teachers whom Peter predicted would come would privily bring in damnable heresies. The expression "privily bring in" literally means to bring in by the side or on the sly. The false teachers never announce up front that they are false teachers. I have never seen one who wore a t-shirt with the words false teacher written across it, or who drove an automobile with a bumper sticker, the driver is a false teacher. Although the verb in this passage is used nowhere else in the New Testament, a verbal adjective based on the verb appears in the following verse. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Galatians 2:4. Many false teachers are kind and loving and give the impression their only reason for teaching is their love for the souls of men. They are not generally dogmatic, belligerent, and openly deceitful. If they were, they probably would have very little influence on the lives of people. Many of the false teachers want us to believe they have discovered truths which have been hidden for years, or which the average preacher has overlooked. The false teachers leave the impression they are freeing us from oppression, emotional, spiritual, and financial. But in many cases, they themselves are the servants of corruption. 2 Peter 2:19. The King James Version refers to the teachings of the false prophets as damnable heresies. The word damnable comes from a Greek word which is usually rendered destruction. Jesus used the word in this familiar passage. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leads to destruction, and many there be who go in thereat. Matthew 7:13. In the verse we are studying from 2 Peter 2, the word is translated destruction, and in verse 2, it is rendered pernicious ways. In verse 3, the word is translated damnation. The word heresies originally meant to choose. Then it came to mean dividing, having a sectarian spirit. In the King James Version, the word is always translated either sect or heresy. The Apostle Paul puts heresies in the category of lusts of the flesh and insists that those who engage in such activities are not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. You can readily understand from the expression, damnable heresies, how very serious it is for teachers or preachers to depart from the truth of God's Word. Yet in all religious groups, including the churches of Christ, there are prominent preachers who want to include everybody under the umbrella of the Lord's church. They're willing to compromise, and are compromising, to convince people that they are not narrow or sectarian. Tragically, many of these preachers are among the most sectarian-minded people you can ever meet. They are promoting a brand of religion which they call Christianity, but which has precious little resemblance to what Jesus and his apostles taught. I have a taped sermon of a man who apparently does not want to draw any lines within the religious community, not even the lines which Christ and his apostles have drawn. He said he did not want to force his beliefs about the Trinity to the dividing of the religious unity for which Christ prayed in John 17. But denying the Trinity puts one in the category of destructive heresies. That the one God of the Bible has revealed himself in three personalities, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is not up for negotiation. That truth is specifically revealed in Scripture. We cannot, we must not, fellowship those who deny the deity of Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit. Some teachers of the Apostle Peter's day, and some in our day, have denied the Lord who bought them. When one denies the deity of Christ, as many modern theologians do, he is denying the Lord who bought him. Do you remember these words from the book of Hebrews? He who despised the law of Moses died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, do you suppose, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10, 28 and 29 and 31. We are so tolerant of error in most modern churches and in society in general that we may not think it a really serious matter to promote error. But one never gets that impression from reading the Scriptures, either the Old Testament or the New. Let me illustrate the destructiveness of religious error. Calvinists teach a doctrine called eternal security. This doctrine says Christians cannot fall from grace. They can do nothing which will cause them to be lost eternally. What if men and women believe that doctrine and wander into serious error, such as denying the Lord that bought them? If they believe they cannot be lost regardless of their conduct, there is no reason they should repent of their sins. If they die with that sin on their consciences, they will be lost forever. If the doctrine is true, it really does not make any difference what Christians do. They cannot be lost anyway. Do you understand why false doctrine must not be preached and why it must be refuted? My heart bleeds for false teachers who are jeopardizing their souls. But what is immeasurably worse is the fact that many shall follow their pernicious ways. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, the expression pernicious ways means damnable or destructive ways. What a tragedy that teachers themselves should be lost because they have taught false doctrine. But think of the heartaches of those who have followed them and ended up in torment. Did not Jesus say, "If the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch"? Matthew 15:14. Falling into a literal ditch is serious, but going to hell for teaching error is far worse. Because the false teachers lead many astray, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Is Peter suggesting that there is a way of truth which we may know and must follow? Our Lord Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. My friends, let me challenge you to examine every doctrine to ascertain whether or not it comes from God. If it is biblical, endorse it, believe it, and preach it. But if it is false teaching, reject it and oppose it with all your being. God will hold us accountable for how we respond to the truth of the gospel. We thank you for listening, and may our Heavenly Father richly bless you.